You're listening to The Warehouse, a Speaking Of show by WFSU. Craft beer is a lot like the big name brews at the grocery store, but since it's often produced in lower quantities, makers can be more experimental with styles and processes. Tallahassee is home to a handful of local breweries, like Ology, which has been producing craft beer since 2017. Josh Johnson is sitting down with the brewery's co-founder, Nick Walker, to learn more about the process and art behind craft beer.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like always, I am here with an extraordinary guest who's going to give us an extraordinary conversation. Today, we're going to talk craft beer, and I have joining me Nick Walker, the co-founder and CEO of Ology Brewing Company. Thank you so much for joining us, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nick, I don't want to waste an expert's time, and so I'm just going to jump right into this thing. Craft beer has been a hot commodity, I'd say, for the last 25, 30 years, somewhere around there. But recently, in the past 10 or 12 years, we have just seen an explosion globally, you know. What do you attribute that explosion to?
I think it began with the legalization of home brewing. So, you know, 70s, you weren't allowed to homebrew legally. And so that really handcuffed a lot of people. And at that point, you can explore all the flavors that you were able to try. And then I would say the biggest thing past that is internet. So I learned to brew on the internet.
On the internet.
Yeah.
So you brought up a cool thing. And I thought it was going to take us longer to get into the home brewing, because even though I'm an expert at drinking beer, I am not an expert in the market. And I thought that home brewing was more of like a fringe category of craft beer. But you're saying actually it's kind of the foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know many brewers that didn't start homebrewing.
Is homebrewing, obviously, safe is a bad word. I hate. So I was at the Beer Fest.
Right.
I'm at the Beer Fest every year, and Ology was there too, along with some of our other great local breweries. It seems to me from the outside looking in that home brewing was fringe because of so many festivals that I've been to, how they're positioned. But it's probably just because at this point they lack a name or notoriety. Is that what I'm probably seeing?
Yeah, there's a good amount of that. There's some legality to it as well. You can't really pay for homebrew and all of that. So generally they sequester them into an area that is more accessible or less accessible depending on the
event.
Gotcha.
So we're in the middle, or I don't know where we are at this bell curve with the explosion of craft beer, but we're somewhere in it. And something that I want to ask you without insulting you, because this is really just a pure question, is it a fad or is it here to stay?
It's here to stay. I'll tell you, we are on the downslope of that bell curve, but the industry is here to stay. Just now we got some market pressure to deal with, which is a good thing. Competition is always great.
Oh, saturation. And so I was reading a stat when I was doing a little research for the interview, and I think it was something like from 2010 to 2020, we had an increase of almost 8,500 breweries in the country. I was thinking, how is that sustainable? And then I thought about the way that I travel. I was just in Orlando last weekend, or St. Augustine. And whenever I'm somewhere, I like to try a different brewery. And if I am one person and there is hundreds of thousands of me, then I think that this market is sustainable. I hope it is anyways, because I have come to see craft brewing as an art form. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think between the art and the, as you're talking about, the travel attraction, but there's also the side of a community. I think that's the travel and attraction is what every brewery wants, is to try to get people to come into their town and come to their spot. But what we want even more is a community and people that come every day or every week and enjoy the social aspect of it.
So one of two things just happened there. Either you've been tuning in and you know what my favorite word is, or you happened upon it, and that means we're cut from the same cloth. So my favorite word on this show is community. Not because it's broad and trite and recycled, but because I think that endeavors of any type should, you know, steer towards building community.
Right.
Have you been able to build community in the craft beer world, or do you feel like you're part of a larger community, or both?
Oh, absolutely both. I think there's an intentionality and an unintentionality of community, and we've adhered to both of those, and we've pivoted because of that in certain points. But at the very beginning is always community. If we didn't know people, if people didn't want to enjoy the space, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, there used to be a term, with you guys in the Midtown location especially, what they call like a bicycle brewery, where it's in a neighborhood and people can either walk to it or cycle to it or, you know, pass by it and swing in with those classic garage doors. I just love that location. So you told us how you learned, which the internet, what got you started?
I grew up in science. My dad and my grandfather both were researchers here at FSU, taste and smell science. And it was really, how do you physiologically taste and smell, but also how does that affect you psychologically? And how does your psyche affect your taste and smell as well? So I grew up with that background, but I loved cooking. I loved the craft beer community in general. Like you said, I travel around trying all the new stuff. And then you combine those together of cooking and, as you say, art and science and coming all together into a really neat product.
You hit it right on the head. As a matter of fact, it was, you gave me two perfect segues, and now I don't know which way to go, which is not a common problem for me. So I'm just going to have to choose a fork in the road. You brought up science, and then you brought up taste. I'm going to start with the science and art. A lot like the culinary sciences, brewing seems to be a perfect marriage between art and science. Let's talk about that a little bit. Is there some wiggle room in there? If you get it wrong, can it still taste good? Or Absolutely. Sometimes if you get it wrong, can it taste better? Or
Absolutely. We had a beer that a brewer messed up one of the formulas on the hops, and it was one of our most famous or one of our more popular beers, Italian Pilsner. And because of that, we're tasting through it, and I'm researching, right, how do I brand this beer now that it's not what the original beer was intended to be? And we created a brand that people in the tap rooms love. That was International Pilsner. So it's a little softer on the hops, but it's very drinkable, very approachable at the same time. And that was a happy accident. They're not all that way, but you know, there are things that go wrong that you can't recover from. But generally, they're you can use a beer. You just, you know, for a brand, you don't want to try to recycle a brand under a different flavor profile.
Absolutely, a good Freudian slip. What does the fermentation process look like? Without giving away too many of your secrets or taking too much time, is it really just sitting and waiting, or is it a lot more complicated than that?
It's more complicated. Sure. We're not doing a ton of the work. You know, the yeast is doing all the work, but we're babying them, trying to get them the right situation to do the job we want them to do.
Absolutely. So the next thing that you brought me up, which was the fork in the road, was taste, when you brought up taste science. For you, as a brew master, right, who has decorated our beautiful little city with one of its greatest commodities, which are your breweries, is it more about taste for you, or is it more about process for you?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. I don't know if I can separate the two. It's the intentionality and the process that I love. I love being able to see a product I want to develop and then go there. But it's that moment of sitting down and having a pour of it that is the rewarding side of it as well.
You took the word out of my mouth again. So many times when I'm talking to artists of whatever different medium, genre, discipline, intentionality is something that happens or undergirds the process. The way you just explained it, it seems as though intentionality is more a direct affectation of the process. So you actually kind of traject what you want to do. You know a flavor profile, and you try to steer your way to it with the skills that you have in brewing.
You got it.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible. So I didn't think that any of this stuff was an accident, but I did think that, well, I guess it is like cooking. You know what you want to taste, and you use the ingredients to get it there. But I thought that yeast was so unpredictable that it was hard, but I guess we've gotten around that by now.
It's all biology. You can control it.
So when I think, we were talking earlier about the culinary arts. When I think of the culinary arts, I simply think food, which it is. But, you know, beer can sometimes be thick. And so you guys aren't really just dealing in libation. You guys are also dealing in like wheat and bread. Can you tell us a bit about the process of what it takes to brew a beer?
Oh, absolutely. So when you look at a beer, you're not just talking about the flavor. You're talking about the mouthfeel. You're talking about and let's just stick a mouthfeel. Mouthfeel can be the water composition. So we add minerals and salts to the water to get it to the right salinity or the right minerality. You can add carbonation, which those levels also change the mouthfeel. So there are a lot of things you can do to impact that. The other side is, are you going to ferment out every ounce of sugar that's in there? Or are you going to let it be a little bit sweet, which adds mouthfeel, fullness, and all of this? So there are a lot of different levers you can pull to try to get to that point.
Now, once you get to that point, I hear artists say all the time, it's never complete. They're always shooting for perfection. When you get to that point, are you satisfied, or are you always trying to enhance it? Or is there just some creations that are too good, and you can brag on yourself, that are too good to mess with?
I think it depends on the beer. Hazy IPA, I can sit down and say this is just a rich, beautiful beer. Some of these lagers, they're just so intricate that I can always say, next time let's try this and see where we can go with it.
It's like classical music, because I am a layman when it comes to beer. Like I say, I only drink it, and it's really only social for me. But I've tasted so many beers that taste so much alike. But if I'm talking to one of my friends who really has the tongue for it or the mouth for it, they can pick up on these intricate little notes, just like you're listening to classical music. Are these intricate little notes important for the person that's just sitting down to drink the beer? And if so, why?
Most likely no. I think it is that extra level that makes a brewery better and grow better. You know, if you don't aim for perfection, you're never going to get better. So
sure.
I think that's part of it for me, is I never want to rest where I am.
But is it also like a like every other sport, the highest compliment comes from your peers?
Yes.
And so is some of this performing for other people who know the science and know that when you hit one of those little small notes, they have to applaud? Or are you doing it so that when a group of friends come in after graduation, they're also going to enjoy it? Or obviously both?
It's for everybody. That's the beautiful thing about beer. It's for everybody. And so if you make a beer with that extra 5%, I think I can give a little bit of credit to a customer base that they may not know what they're tasting, but they know this is a little bit different. And I think that's an incredible thing to have happen.
And if you give them that extra 5% when they stand up, they might not know what they're tasting.
Well,
they're
yeah.
So what is your favorite type of beer?
I started homebrewing because I love hazy IPA. Well, I shouldn't say that's not why I started homebrewing. That's why really why we opened Ology. I started homebrewing because I love the art of it and the science of it. But when we set out to start Ology, it was hazy IPA. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get a hold of them here in town. We'd trade for them. My friends would bring them to me, and this profile was just amazing, rich, saturated with flavor. It wasn't that purely bitter IPA that is still around and still great, but it is just a very rich, juicy, saturated beer that I love.
I heard that. I, as one of your first and most loyal customers, forget me not, Nick. When you guys first bust on the scene, you guys actually introduced me to Saisons, but you had a Saison on the menu that I thought, and I don't want to make this a plug for Ology, but I do want to be intentional to use your word by saying it was one of the best beers that I've ever had, and I'm sure it will be one of the best beers that I ever have. What was the name of that Saison? Can
that was
you remember?
Variable.
The Variable.
Variable, yeah.
That's it. I can't ever remember it. The Variable was an incredible beer. So you guys, obviously, we were talking about the beer festival earlier. You were always a part of the beer festival. We were talking about community earlier. That seems to be such a great event that the United Partners for Human Services put on. Let's talk about that for a while. What type of experience has it been to be a part of the Tallahassee Beer Festival?
It's great. I'll tell you, I have friends. I travel a lot for beer festivals.
Sure.
I was in Copenhagen this May. I'll be in Barcelona in October, all for beer festivals, and I go around the country doing that. It's a great way to build your brand. But we had some friends come this year from Florida breweries that were just blown away by the amount of people that showed up for it. You know, I forgot what the number was, 2,400 people or something like that. That's huge, especially for a beer fest where you're presenting your goods to the community. And so it's always been a great time, but I see it building, and it's been a wonderful experience.
I heard that. The art on the cans and the names, which I'm always very interested in, where does it come from? Who does the can art? Do you source it out? How does the can art come about? It's always the funnest part of the beer, one of the funnest parts of the beer for me.
No, it's awesome. That's Steve Leacock. He has been since day one. He created the Ology brand mark, and since day one, created basically every label that we've.
How cool is that?
We've come up with
Leacock, also a legend. Maybe we will talk to him one day on the show as well. And you come up with the names of
yes.
the beer. Yeah. So, do you have any ambitions for not Ology per se, but obviously everything that you do in this world is contextualized through Ology.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any ambitions for the sport in which you play, which is beer?
I think it's what we started the conversation with mm-hmm. is a social house. We you have churches in the old day, you had taverns in the old day, you had these community markets in the old day, but now we have cars, we have ways of gathering, and I think a brewery is a very good way to do that. It's not at a table with five people that you don't get bothered with around the other tables at a restaurant. It is really a community. You can pop around and talk to anybody in the room, and it's usually very acceptable.
Acceptable. Oh, man, we're reading each other's minds today. It's the coffee clutch without the exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Come as you are, quite literally. Now, for whatever reason, you stay as your business, but come as you are. And you have given this community a place to have proverbial church.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you, and we appreciate you all at home for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time.